Welcome to the 19th episode of the Nonstop Podcast with Pooja. With me, I have the very radiant Subhiksha Venkat, who is an influencer, who's a mom, who's a brand owner, and a very, very lovely human at it. Welcome to the podcast, Subhiksha.
Thank you so much for the wonderful introduction. So sweet of you.
Okay, so tell us about yourself a little bit before I ask all the questions that I want to ask you.
So you've already said that, you know, I'm a content creator, mom and all that. So you've already said the main things. But I am a Tamil ponnu with an exposure to diverse culture thanks to my upbringing in Dubai. I'm independent, I'm quite ambitious, quite spontaneous. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. And very, very passionate about what I do. So yeah, that's a little bit about myself.
And I think it really reflects not just in your personality, but also in your content. You're actually one of the first mainstream influencers that I have in my couch today. And I think it's also very important and relevant because a lot of us want to get into the space because it's very glamorous. And I'm sure that's not the real deal behind it. So what was your intent when you started off with social media as a content creator? And then what did it become today?
Okay, so I hadn't heard the term influencer. It just happened now. I started in Stone Ages, actually. So I think my love for creating content started even when I was in school, you know, with Sneha, who did your makeup, who's my best friend. We both used to like do a lot of theater together in school, a lot of like drama competitions. And I loved creating content there. I used to direct, I used to make people do this. So I think the love started back then. And when I came back to India for college and I studied here, I started exploring a lot of writing. So I started off as a blogger. I used to have a website called madeinchennai.com. And it was almost like a blog to write to my mom saying that, hey, today I went here and ate this. But I used to write it in a very poetic way so that she appreciates me. So that's how it started. So I loved creating content in any form. But it started off with writing. And then when Instagram sort of boomed and I was also freshly out of college, this was 8 years back. Oh my God, I sound so old, but yeah, 8 years back. And then Instagram started and I used to put picture content, which is like, hey, I ate here and I liked it. Hey, I wore this. And people actually started liking. So it was a very organic process of writing blogs on a website to putting pictures. And then as and when, you know, the format changed, I sort of adapted to it. So I won't call myself an influencer. It all started off as a content creating journey organically. And now here I am. So yeah, for those who wants to start, I think you just need to be very passionate about what you do, because I've been doing this for 8 years in different formats and I'm still slightly relevant, I hope. So I think for those who want to start, just be very passionate, consistent and authentic.
Yeah, I think the word authentic is very important. Very. And that's something that you have managed to hold up to, you know, until this very point. So apart from doing this content creating, which you again have a very niche audience for, you are also, I think, very primarily a business owner. And you're very passionate about it. And your brand is called Kathadi Madras, which translates to a kite.
Yes.
So why the brand name and what do you do with this business?
Right. So with content creation, I've had exposure to a lot of people and a lot of brands. So I realized how much I love, you know, growing businesses through my exposure. And slowly, I realized that I could do this for brands as well. With my experience, I am an engineering graduate. I have zero knowledge. I mean, I have zero educational knowledge in marketing, but I loved it. So with my experience and exposure to social media, I realized why not help businesses grow, you know, as well. So it all started when my friend sort of asked me, listen, my restaurant is struggling. Why don't you just give me a few tips to grow? So I said, okay, I was working full time back then. So I said, okay, anyway, I have a lot of time. Let me handle your social media. So it started off like that. And I loved it. I loved the kick of, you know, when the brand grows and they messaging me saying, hey, we did so much. Thanks to you. That sort of gave me a lot of happiness. because I'm able to help businesses grow and also make money out of it. So that's how it started. And one led to another. He recommended to his another friend who had a struggling restaurant, and then someone else had a clothing store they wanted to open. So it all started organically. And I realized that this is what I wanted to do. I've always loved creating content. Why not create content for other brands as well? So I put together a team of people who think like me, and we started Kathari Madras. So we are a digital marketing, I wouldn't say digital marketing, I would say creative social media marketing agency, where we manage brands, we create content, we help them with digital marketing, we do PR, influencer activations, and a lot more. So basically, we manage brands and grow their business.
Yeah, I think it's very funny and at the same time very unique that you say that you are a creative social media, you know, brand or kind of a company, because a lot of them go with the mainstream idea of we are digital marketing. Mm. And now in today's time, digital marketing is such a huge swing and scope.
Huge, yeah.
And even individuals have their own PR, they have their own like managers. We're in that kind of a space right now. And especially in, you know, countries like India, vanity is given a lot more importance, right? I've had different people in this podcast. I've had different professionals, and I am a lawyer myself. And I keep saying this in every podcast of mine, only because I want to kind of understand the relatability and the revolvement around it. Mm-hmm. For example, in some spaces in, you know, not just in India, but elsewhere, social media is simply banned for their scope of work, because marketing or advertising in their scope of work is just not allowed by law. But again,
could you give me an example?
Like, for example, in India, you're not allowed to solicit your legal practice.
Of course, yeah.
But for example, in Europe, even if I go to movies and theater, the law firms kind of have their own advertisement. So there is a lot of understanding behind it, right? Like, that's why I wanted to bring you on this couch and ask. There's a lot of glamour behind it. There's a lot of vanity behind all the social media influencing and influencer. And I want you to break down, why did he use the word creative and what really stands out? What's the process behind it? What do you give as service to your customers?
Right. Both as a social media content creator and my marketing company, I stick to the word creative because that's what sells right now. Yes, like you said, the digital marketing word is a lot more fancy, and you know, we do all of those things as well. But what really stands out and what really is our company's USP is giving them creative output and creative content, because that's something that no AI can give, right? So so when it comes to social media creative, like an influencer, I make sure that I put together ideas on my own and help AI amplify it. Even when it comes to my agency, we put in our own ideas. I always like to make my folks think, and even if it's something silly, but it's still creative, let's go for it, rather than, you know, relying fully on AI. So the creative process varies, but maybe, for example, if I have to take my page, when a brand approaches me or when I want to create something on my own, I think of a couple of things. I'll be like, is this relatable? Can I showcase this in a very simple way, but also not make it boring for people? And third thing, authenticity, like staying true to who I am. I can't just not be who I am. And then I put together. So that's the creative process that I take in the social media content creation side. When it comes to my agency, again, we study the brand. We see what works for them and then how relatable we can do it for them. And then create content for them. So the creativity process sort of differs for both.
And I have a very kind of funny, hilarious, unique, whatever you call, question to ask you.
Okay.
Every time I travel between countries, or every time I kind of acclimatize myself to being back home, there's one thing that I see very obviously today, that maybe our society is very inclined towards doing things that are more viral. I would say the Southeast Asia on a whole pool itself, because it definitely feels like you're from two different continents. In my recent travels for work, I was in South Korea. Everybody seems to be glued on their phone. Everybody seems to be doing something that's very viral, you know, if I have to say the right word. And on the other side of the world, people are more, you know, true to their own interests. Mm. Someone's suddenly doing things that's very offbeat. They're climbing mountains. Mm. They're hitchhiking. They're doing kite surfing. training. And they're really into more, like I would say, real mental health activities, right?
Mm.
And because your content is more true to yourself and you really focus on things that are not very viral, how important is it to, say, for example, dance to a viral tone? Does it really amplify your content or is it just joining the bandwagon?
Okay, so honestly, virality is great, but it is temporary. So if you're looking at, listen, I just want to grow big and make money and exit, go for it. Do your dance, do your labubus, all of those things. But if you're really passionate about what you're doing, virality is temporary and utilize it in a more authentic way. I say, for example, a song comes out and it's famous. I wouldn't necessarily dance to it because that's not my style. Even if my audience sees it, they'll be like, this is not Subhiksha, she doesn't dance. But what I can utilize, maybe I'll use the song and do a more sari styling video. That is more me. So maybe a mixing the viral content and still being original works the best. And if you're looking to grow long term and if you're not looking to just do this and exit with a lot of money, then virality is not your way. You have to be authentic. You need to be your true self. I know I'm stressed. I must have said too much authentic too many times, but that's really important for you to stay true to who you are, because you cannot fake it after a point. If you're going to do this for decades, you can't fake your authenticity. So I would say virality is temporary, but being authentic is permanent, and that's what's going to give you relevance throughout your journey.
Yeah, I see that you really have your Gantt chart in place for your business. Now let's come to your individual personality, which is also being out there. You are a content creator. You're also a newly, you're a mom to a very cute boy. So I think all this comes with its own baggage, right? Like you go through a lot, especially as a woman. And this podcast is, I only interview women. And I don't often see them fretting about a process. But of course, because you put yourself so much out there, I'm sure a lot has changed. So what really is your individual content creation for? What do you do with your page?
So my page is a reflection of my personality and who I am and what I like. So I put across anything that I find interesting, and it could be a restaurant that I liked, it could be an exhibition I went, or it could be something I discovered when I'm traveling. So it's just me. So I would call myself a lifestyle page, a glimpse of Subhiksha's life if you go there. But I like to put out information in a more fun way so that people also get entertained by watching it, in terms of editing it well or in terms of giving relevant voiceovers. So that's my page. My page is a reflection of my personality. And when it comes to like a lot of new changes, and I have a boundary that I've set. So when it comes to extremely personal life, I choose not to post all of those. And my audience, they're so considerate, they understand. They don't, put out negative comments just because I hide my baby's face. So they know who I am, because I've shown who I am on the page. So even when I go through a lot of personal changes or personal things and I don't put it out so much, people still understand and they still follow me to see the other things that I put out. So it's a good balance, I would say, my personal page. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think this is also the best part about you, right? Now tell us about the non-glamorous part. What have you really gone through to have this kind of numbers, or what really goes through in the editing process? And tell us, if someone's listening to this and who's a real Subhiksha Venkat OG fan, because you are from Dubai, and I think, when you migrate somewhere, or you reverse migrate, in your case, you have a reverse migration, you are floating in between, trying to find what's really your space. Because sometimes you wake up and you're like, I am a Tamil born, Chennai is my space. But you had a different upbringing. You had a different set of like-minded people back home who didn't really look at you a certain way, or it was not too different for them that you're choosing to do something. So they always say you're never fully something once you
migrate. I'm sure you agree too.
I agree. Yeah. So, of course, so I want to know what's the non-glamorous part of it, and what would you generally say the time of editing that goes into it? What apps do you use?
Mm. So, yeah, I truly agree. You never feel like you belong I've heard like negative comments saying she claims that she's a Chennai Pune, but she's not even lived in Chennai, you know, half of her life. But I feel so rooted. Even when I was, you know, in Dubai, I used to really like appreciate South Indian culture. And when I came back and I learned a lot of, you know, culture about South India, the clothes, the culture, and I fell in love with it. So the transition to, you know, being a full-time Chennai, it was quite easy. I was surrounded by friends who, you know, didn't judge me for... I did have a culture shock moment in the beginning, I won't deny it, but it helped me, like my friends and people who were around me, especially my husband, back then he was my boyfriend, he really helped me transition better. So the non-glamorous part that you had asked me, trust me, everything is non-glamorous. What you put out on social media is not fully real, right? So you need to put a lot of effort for you to look effortless on camera. So even when I have to do a get ready with me, people, you know, easily say, all you do is just put out like a video of you twirling around in saris and you get paid for it. Like how, you know, how privileged or something. But a lot of people right now are understanding because they do want to get into similar fields. And it does come with a lot of effort, you know, to conceptualize, to style things together. So a 1 minute reel is going to take you half a day to shoot. For example, this podcast is, you've prepared questions. It took us 3 days to put this together, right? A lot of back and forth and a lot of research from your end, a lot of practice from my end. So what they see is not what they truly, you know, what you truly get. So it is non-glamorous, but once you're okay to break that and you're like, listen, this is who I am and it's okay, you know, I don't have to be, how do I say, artificial on camera, I'm happy to be who I am, then it becomes easier. But it is a lot of hard work, especially if you want to keep staying relevant. You need to like keep rediscovering yourself and again, stay authentic to yourself. So that's that. And regarding the editing and all of that, in the beginning, I used to do a lot of picture format content. This was back, like before COVID. So I had a team of people who are now my best friends who shoots, edits content for me. So I had no involvement whatsoever. But once the reel era started, where, you know, everything was a reel, I had to put out a reel every single day at one point. That's when I started using apps like InShot and CapCut. They are very easy, free apps that you can use on your phone. And any person who wants to start their content creation journey can do it because it's free and you just need practice to perfect it. So InShot, CapCut, and there's an app called Captions, which right now there's an AI edit version there. It edits your entire video in 15 minutes. I know your editor is giving me a side eye right now, but yeah, you can, like right now you can utilize AI in an efficient way. So these are a couple of apps that I use as a content creator to, you know, put out content every single day.
Yeah, and I think someone who's listened to this podcast until this point would want to learn something from it. So I have an interesting question to ask you.
Okay.
So you seem like someone, I haven't met you before. And I've known you through a friend and then I've seen your content. And one thing that I think I am, is that I'm very real. Like everybody who knows me will tell you the same version of me, very, very alike. So I think that's my pro. But I think what I could see with you is that you have a business and you also do something in the same lines of your business.
Yes.
So you're kind of a role model to your own business or like an illustration for your own client saying, hey, look at me, this is what I do, but this is my company, which we do something very alike. So I think that business model, because I am from the stream of life, of strategy, right? Everything that is professional friend is a strategy.
For sure.
So if you have to work with brands and if you have to come across extraordinarily professional, right? What do you do? Like, how do you say it? And what kind of work in terms of documents or in terms of negotiations do you have?
Like you rightly said, my USP is me for my company and my content creation because we are almost like in a similar line. So when I approach clients or, you know, big professionals, that is my USP because I know Instagram I'm in both this side and the other side of Instagram. I know Instagram as an influencer, as a consumer, and a marketer. So that is something that I always tell my clients as a USP. This is something that no other agencies can provide, like having an influence, an in-house influencer with like 8-9 years of experience in this field, who's worked with so many international brands, so many, oh my God, this is sounding like one sales pitch, but yeah, who, you know, this is a USP I proudly carry and tell. And because the whole process of registering my business and working professionally is only a 3-4 year old affair. The documentation, it did take me a lot of time, and I really hope there are, you know, freelancers who could help startups. Are there any freelance lawyers who could help startups?
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. And like, but I also wanted to quickly come in and more, maybe structure more on this conversation, because I'm sure there's so much more that I can get from you. But I wanted to know, in an influencing journey, right? For social media, of course, there's a company and it's registered and there's a trademark and documents, etc. For an influencing journey, I'm sure that even the government of India is seeing it. For example, there's a lot of money that's been flushed into influencing. The Prime Minister Modi ji is coming and like also saying that the influencers now have this forum and you're getting awards, you're getting recognized because they see that this is the next big thing. But of course, as influencers, you don't have big legal baggage or obligations. You are asked to do the similar level of income tax papers like any other freelancers, right? My thing is, what is your pros and cons when you talk to your brands? Do they just send you papers and they ask you to sign? Or do you have your own caveat saying that, hey, listen, this is all okay, but this is what is my exclusion?
Right. So very like important question. In the initial stages, I had no clue, you know, I would how to, you know, channelize the money, how to do the taxes, because I wasn't making much. I would hardly make 5,000, 2,000. But when the money started coming in from bigger brands, they had a contract in place. So say you work with a very big national level or an international level brand, they'll give you a long vendor registration form, a contract, which I actually used to go through. I would never just tick it because I really did want to learn, you know, what is it that they ask. So yes, a lot of documentations where they send you an agreement and then you read, well, about the confidentiality, about the payment terms and about your creative freedom. They even mention how many rounds of edits can they ask you to do, and if it exceeds, how much money should they, it's very detailed. And that was actually really useful for me because both of us, you know, it was very professional, you know, all the associations that I've had with brands. And since I'm a GST registered company, even right now, so all the taxes and everything has been handled very professionally as well. But for those who are starting out, it's really important to put together a very, like, I'm sure you can take help from your lawyer friends to create a simple agreement which will cover all the points. Because right now, payments are being really difficult from big brands. That's what I've experienced and I've heard from others as well. So putting together a simple contract that says, hey, these are my payment terms. I need at least 30 days of maximum 30 days or whatever it is that you are okay with. Putting together those agreements via an email, even if it's not so legal, but at least something like that will really help. And that's helped me personally, you know, where, you know, I've said, hey, in the mail, I've mentioned that you need to pay me within 30 days and you still haven't paid. So I could have some hold, you know, instead of just orally having faith in them. So yeah, documentation-wise, these kind of contracts are very important for aspiring or even, you know, content creators who are doing now. Having a professional media kit which holds all your, not only your pricing, but what service you provide, what is it that they can expect from your end. Because at the end of the day, it is you know, ROI-based profession as well. Yes, you are giving brands exposure, but at the same time, they expect some sales out of you, at least the small brands. So that sort of insights, how many people visit your profile, how many people save it, all of those things, I put it together as a media kit and I share it with brands. So that's also helped brands come back to me again. Even if they don't see a massive response the first time, they still appreciate the fact that I'm transparent and they come back. So these are all like few documentations or official things that I do which has helped me, you know, get a lot of repeat collaborations with brands. And at the same time, personally, I'll feel a little more satisfied that I've followed all the rules and regulations as well. Yeah.
I think that's a wonderful answer. And I think anything with stats in life always wins for me. So you're absolutely right to say that. And yeah, now we've come to the very end of this, podcast. And I have to ask you a couple of more, personal questions, which is very near and dear to me.
Okay.
So tell us very briefly, what is your vision? What's something that you would want to do with this influencing, apart from what you're targeting in terms of, this being a generic profession for you?
Okay, so I'll tell you one incident that had happened, and someone had, one of my followers, they had messaged me saying that I hated sari. I thought I would never wear it. They actually said I hated sari. I was so heartbroken. But after seeing your profile and the way you effortlessly style it, I've started wearing saris. I know it's a small thing for you to hear, but for me, that changed my entire perspective, because I'm like, if someone could get influenced and change the way they dress up and, adapt to South Indian culture, I thought that gave me a purpose. Oh my God, I think I can represent South India, represent Tamil Nadu to a larger audience, talk more about my culture. So I feel like that is my purpose as an influencer, to... of course, be real, just post what I want and post educational content, yes. But overall, be this Tamil Ponnu who represents South Indian culture to the rest of the world. And yeah, that's my vision, and I hope to achieve that, someday. More of it, yeah.
I think that's very lovely. I think it's very... I think when we grow up, we really want to westernize ourselves. Unfortunately, a lot of us had that influence in us, and fortunately that has helped us on a larger level of putting us out there and kind of helping us be more universal and more relatable. But I think it's very important to always stick to your roots and
for
always
sure.
Feel that this is who you are.
Mm.
But we've also come to a very rooted question in my podcast. I always ask the guests, there's two very important questions.
Okay.
What is the book that changed your life? And what's that one movie that you hold dear to you? So this is something that I always look forward to, because for me, this is where the guests really gets exposed. You really know everything about them when they say this.
Okay. So for me, I read a lot of books and I watch a lot of movies. So I feel like I can't just pick one. But I can talk about certain books or certain movies that really left a lasting impression. A few months back, I read this book called Clara and the Sun. I forgot the author's name. Suddenly, it just blanked out. But, oh my God, such a beautiful book. Since I'm in this whole AI journey and learning a lot, so this is about Clara, who's an AI. And she gets... she's in a store and she gets adopted by this teenager who teaches her what love and what a human behavior is. And it was so nice to see simple things like love or kindness that we take granted for, and how a robot or how an AI proves it to us. This was nice for me to get a perspective of tiny things that really does make a huge difference. So that is one book I really like. And I love a lot of fiction books, because I feel like books are an escape for me. So after doing everything, I feel like sitting and reading something as simple and fantasy, like even like a Harry Potter or a Malgudi Days for that matter, really does, it's an escape for me. That night after my dinner and before putting baby to the sleep, that 2 hours is like an amazing time for me to do that. But yeah, if I have to, my recent favorite has been Clara and the Sun. I think all of you should read it, if you're especially into the whole AI and all that. And with regards to movies, again, I feel like there's a lot of movies that's changed. Simple movies like A Pursuit of Happiness changed my perspective. Even something as simple as Barfi, loved it, and it's, made me truly realize what love is and how simple everything can be. A lot of movies like that. Even the latest Tourist Family, did you see the movie?
No.
It's very fun, it's very lighthearted, but gives a lot of message. So I wouldn't say just one movie or one book, a lot of different movies and books truly has changed the way I look at life.
Yeah, I think that was very wonderfully said. And thank you very much, Subhiksha, for coming on this podcast and gracing us with all this wonderful information and giving me the time and the privilege for knowing you. It's been an absolute honor having you, and I wish you nothing but the very best and a very rooted journey ahead of you.
Thank you so much, Pooja. This was such a, it didn't feel like a podcast. It just felt like a conversation, and I'm so glad we did this. Hoping to do a part two soon.